Analysts say corruption in Kenya was one of a number of economic and political issues that made for a very tight national election. They say the new administration will have to tackle those same issues during the next 5 years. CEO Mwalimu Mati of the Mars Group, an anti-corruption and good governance organization in Nairobi, says the country is affected by corruption, both large and small. Mati says Transparency International describes the situation in a recent report. It said, from a business point of view, potential investors perceive Kenya as among the 10 most corrupt countries in the world.
Corruption in Kenya is endemic, both petty bribery, the kind that you would encounter as the average man encountering the police or the state's bureaucracy, clerks in public institutions or teachers or nurses or clinical assistants. So that in Kenya, a lot of the very poor are paying several bribes per month, which they can ill afford.
He says things are not much better at the national level, where he says only 10% of the population controls most of the country and enjoys most of the benefits of its robust economy.
So we've got petty corruption and grand corruption at levels which no growing economy can really sustain, because all this money gets funneled out as it comes in. And if we lose 20% of the government's procurement budget year on year, then there really isn't much hope for real sustainable growth and equitable growth.
Analyst Mwalimu Mati says corruption also hinders democracy. He says a recent UN survey found that more than half of the money financing political parties could not be verified as legal. He says some people fear the money could come from the illicit trade in arms. He calls large-scale corruption and the money it generates a war chest for generating political power. Mati said in mature democracies, political parties are based on ideas and ideology, but in Kenya, they are created to serve the interests of moneyed elites, not the average citizen. In Kenya, he says, alternatives to the ruling KANU party are short-lived and are led by aging leaders.
Nobody in Kenya is a card-carrying member of any party for any serious length of time, so nobody learns or bothers to learn anything about the constitution of the party or whether or not it has any policies. So people join parties because at the helm of a political party is somebody from their tribe. It's always a tribal contest, and it's tribes allying themselves against other coalitions of tribes, and that's definitely not going to be good for nation building in this country, because where races are tight and tempers are high, then people start to see other Kenyans as enemy rather than political opponents.
Mati says one solution to the problem is to give more power to the regions in a new constitution. Voters rejected constitutional reform in a referendum 2 years ago, but Mati and many others say the government-backed final draft of the rejected constitution did not go far enough to decentralize the country in order to reduce what critics say are almost autocratic powers invested in the head of state. John Otieno is on the board of the Kenya Union of Journalists. He says Kenya's Muslims are in favor of greater autonomy. Otieno says Muslims form a powerful voting bloc in Mombasa and other areas of Coast Province, as well as northeastern province along the border with Somalia. Otieno says these are areas rich in diamonds and other minerals, and many international companies have expressed interest in investing there.
The northern communities believe that they would do much better under a devolved system of power where they would be able to control their resources. And opinion polls have confirmed that federalism is very popular among the people of Kenya, including Muslims, up to about 60% for the last poll that was conducted 1 month ago.
Nairobi-based analyst Ojwang Agena says a new administration should consider eliminating the creation of small districts, often based along tribal or other demographic lines. After coming to power in 2002, President Kibaki increased the number of districts from 60 to about 140. The government says they're needed to improve local development. Agena disagrees.
He has created these new administrative units called districts in places like Kisii, northeastern parts of Rift Valley, and parts of Western Province, and parts of the coast. And the areas where he created them, they are not planned in advance as a government policy. They are just being used as his political campaign tool.
Analyst Bali Mumati and other pro-democracy activists say they favor the creation of a Justice and Truth Commission to look into allegations of past economic and political crimes. They say the process should include restitution for those whose human rights have been violated. Mumati says NGOs are determined to work with the new president to create bodies that will monitor economic crimes and help curb them. President Kibaki has said that in a second term, he would support a new constitution, and he favors a more limited form of political devolution than those suggested by his opponents, which he says could exacerbate ethnic tensions. According to The Nation newspaper in Nairobi, President Kibaki told voters that if he won, he would continue to crack down on corruption. He said any cabinet minister suspected of corruption would have to resign immediately. In his first term, some government officials resigned after being linked to financial wrongdoing, but were reinstated after investigations cleared them. I'm William Eagle in Washington.